Have you ever been misunderstood before? Where you tell someone something and they clearly do not understand what you're saying? Or be on the opposite side, where someone tells you something and you're just kind of focused on something else and you misunderstand what they said to you and you're just fixated on it. I think all of us can probably think of times where perhaps that has happened. Well, as our gospel indicates, we can end up doing that with Jesus too. And I'm reminded of a time when I was in prayer, presenting to the Lord a situation that I had encountered. There was a couple I was working with who were suffering from infertility. And I was praying to God about their situation. And I asked him if the fear that they were experiencing was from him. And he told me the answer was no. And to be honest, I pretty much figured that that would be the case. And so I was getting a little prideful, thinking, all right, I got that one right. But I also wanted to know what God wanted that particular couple to do. Now, couples that experience infertility, they have different options. Not all of them are morally acceptable. But natural family planning, for example, can help a couple achieve pregnancy even if they're experiencing infertility. And there are other options too, like healing whatever the source of that infertility is, using microsurgeries or NAPRO technology. And if those other things don't work, then there's always the option of adoption. And so, with this particular couple, knowing their situation and their circumstances, I was thinking that the best course of action for them would be to adopt. But I wanted to hear what God had to say. I wanted to know what he thought would be best for them, and so I asked him. And his answer surprised me quite a bit. He told me, I want them to ask me. And I thought, God, that wasn't one of the options. Like, that's not what I told you. That's not what I expect. That's not how this works. This couple, they're not praying. They don't usually go to Mass. They're probably not going to ask you. So here's how it works, God. I ask you, you tell me, because I'm actually listening, and then I will tell them, and they will know what you want them to do. And God just repeated to me the same thing. I want them to ask me. And I don't remember how many times we went back and forth before I realized that I was trying to tell God that he was wrong. But eventually I figured that out. And so I stopped trying to convince him to do my will and to do things my way. And so that came to mind because I see Peter doing something very similarly. Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. It's like, all right, he got the first one right. But then Jesus, now that Peter knows who he is, they can move on to a new level of their relationship. Jesus reveals the plan of God, that he's going to undergo his passion, his death, and his resurrection. But that doesn't fit Peter's plans. That's not what Peter expected. Peter, like many Jews of his time, thought the Messiah was going to be this warrior king like King David, that his kingdom would be an earthly kingdom with boundaries and territory and all sorts of things, that he would free them from the Roman oppression. He didn't understand that God's kingdom was to free them from Satan and slavery to sin. Peter had something else in mind. He wasn't open to what Jesus had to say, and what Jesus told him was quite different from what he expected, different than what he wanted. And so Peter tries to tell him that he's wrong. He tries to tell Jesus how things are supposed to be. We don't get the exact words in our gospel passage today from Mark, but in Matthew we get a little bit more of what that exchange was like. Peter says something along the lines of, Lord, may that never happen to you. Clearly he doesn't understand what God's plans are. Which is why Jesus rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Now, did Jesus mean that Peter was the fallen angel who tempted Adam and Eve? No, Peter is a human being. He was a fisherman from Capernaum. But he was acting like Satan. He was doing what Satan would do. And that is, tempt Jesus to contradict God's will, tempt Jesus not to do what God the Father wants him to do. And because Peter was acting like Satan, Jesus referred to him as Satan and pointed out his errors, that he was thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. And I think we can fall in that same trap, that we can have our own plans, we can have our own ideas of how things are supposed to be, and try to tell God that he's wrong, that things should be different, they should be some other way. Oftentimes, our plans, we think, are just easier. Like, sometimes God asks us to do difficult things, and we want the easy out, we want the easy way. We don't want to work so hard. We don't want to do what's difficult. But Jesus tells us that that's not always an option, that we should follow him. He says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Deny himself. That includes our own plans or our own ideas. Peter has to deny his preconceived notions of who the Messiah is and what he's supposed to do in order to be able to recognize and receive who Jesus actually is. And if Peter believes that Jesus really is the Christ, then he has to trust that he knows what he's doing. It is not enough for us to simply say that Jesus is the Christ, that he is our Lord and Savior, that he is God, and that we're going to follow him. We actually have to do that too. We actually have to follow him. We have to live out that faith, as we hear in our second reading from St. James. We have to choose to obey our Lord, knowing that he wants what's truly best for us. Yes, there can be times where things are difficult, where there's struggle, but God can bring good out of all difficulties, all challenges, all struggles. Romans 8:28, God brings good to all those who love him. I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. So it's important for us, if we really believe that Jesus is Christ, if he is our God who loves us so tremendously, then to surrender to him in knowing that he knows best. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, he surrendered to the will of God the Father to undergo his passion, death, and resurrection. We heard about that in a little bit more detail in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, who predicted what that would look like about 750 years before it actually happened. So that when it did happen, we would know that this is truly the work of God, that Jesus Christ would give himself up on the cross, that he would die, make a perfect gift of himself out of love for God and love for us, to make up for all of the sins of all of humanity for all time. What could really be worse than an innocent man being put to death like a criminal in the most cruel way possible that the Roman Empire could offer, crucifixion? And yet, it's through that suffering that God brought about the greatest good, the salvation of all the world. So it's important for us, if we believe that Jesus is Christ, to trust him, to follow him, to surrender our own ideas of how things ought to be, and to accept whatever his plan is, to follow him as he wants us to, and not as we want to. To surrender to the Lord and accept the path that he chooses for us. There can be many ways and many things that we want to do in our own lives, which may or may not be in accordance with God's will. But if ever we see that there's a conflict, we should surrender to the Lord and follow the path that he chooses for us. And not being prideful or confused like Peter was, like I was, trying to tell God that he's got it wrong and he should do it differently. Instead, we should trust the Lord, and we should live out our faith. So let us take a moment now to reflect upon how we need to better surrender ourselves and our will to God's, how we can better follow him. how we can take up our crosses and follow him. Let us reflect on that as we prepare to meet our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist. In my homily, I mentioned a story of praying for a particular couple, and I had to humble myself, recognizing I was trying to tell God what to do. Well, we all need to humble ourselves before the Lord. So I went back to the couple and I told them the fruits of my prayer, that the fear was not from God, and that God wanted them to pray to him. But I had to pray and reflect more myself to understand why that would be God's response. And the answer that came to me is because God wants what's truly best for us, which is to be with him forever in heaven. And that couple was not praying. They weren't really living out a relationship with the Lord. And so he was using this opportunity of their infertility to draw them to himself, to help them on that journey to heaven. And so whatever difficulties and challenges we may be facing, it could be that God is trying to draw us back to himself, to enter more deeply into prayer and relationship with him, so that we could one day be with him forever in heaven. And so let us take some time this week, at least one moment in prayer, to present to the Lord a particular situation we may be facing, a difficulty, a challenge, to surrender it to the Lord and ask of him, what do you want me to do, Lord? And to give him the opportunity to answer that question.